for an expository message from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So go to 1 Corinthians and chapter 3, a carnal and struggling church and lessons that we can learn. 1 Corinthians and chapter 3. As you're turning there, I'm thinking of a guy that I had as a teacher in seminary. And he also was on a pastoral staff of a great church in Grand Rapids, Michigan. He was part of a pastoral staff. They had a great work there going on and running from 1,500 to 2,000 in that church. And he mentioned one time these preachers that don't stay long enough for a church to grow spiritually and to grow numerically. In fact, he called them 18-month wonders. 18-month wonders. And he said they got all their Bible college notes and they went and they preached them all within 18 months and then they were out of material and they left and went somewhere else. And that's not how to build a church. It's not what God wants. He wants somebody that's going to be in the Word and mature and grow and have people that are growing. And I found out, too, that the best way that I got trained for the ministry is working under and with the pastor. And thank God for Bible college education and learning how to study the Word and so forth. That's one of the best things I got, learning, getting the tools to study the Word, but and getting discipline. But learning under and going out with the pastor, that is a great way to train men for the ministry. We want to talk about that today, pastors and training pastors and evangelists, missionaries for the ministry. And let me say that I believe our church has a great opportunity to grow spiritually and a great opportunity to grow spiritually. Numerically as well. And you know, we had five baptisms, and as we had those five baptisms, I had a guy come up to me after the morning service, and he is the father of Isaac Yerkanen. And pray for Isaac. He's had some health issues down there in Arizona, but he while Isaac was here, he led a guy named Jordan to the Lord, who was on the hockey team. I don't know if you remember Jordan. And both of them attended church together in Arizona this morning, a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church there. And I guess Jordan's down there with the hockey. But anyway, thank God for that. And then Matthew Yerkanen was here, Isaac's dad. And he was telling me about witnessing to his brother and people from this church. He was giving me a testimony, reaching out to Isaac Yerkanen's dad's brother. And apparently, I think that he was saying they led him to the Lord, and his name is Joel, and he's bringing him to church this coming Sunday. So I believe what I'm trying to say, five baptisms, I'm trying to say that our church is a unified pastor-led church. And that means we have an opportunity to make a real impact upon lives in our Jerusalem area here. And it says in Acts 2:1, they were all with one accord in one place. And that makes such a difference. And that's just opposite of what you see in the church at Corinth. They were not of one accord. They were not in one place when they should be in one place together, and so they were not really making an impact. Rather, the world was making an impact on them, and they were getting into worldliness and into carnality, sins of the flesh, and that's a sorry thing to see. So tonight I want to look at 1 Corinthians 3 verses 4 through 19. 1 Corinthians 3 verses 4 through 19 or 17. I'm sorry, 4 through 17. And I want to do an expository message called Partner with Your Pastor. This is how we can grow spiritually, how we can grow numerically, how we can make an impact. This is what the Corinthians were really not doing. Partner with your pastor for growth and blessing, and we'll see numerical growth. We'll see spiritual growth. Let me say, number one, by your partnering with each successive pastor. Our church has had two pastors that are head pastors in the history of our church. And our church has been here about 53 years, and we've had two pastors. And I want you to look with me at verse 4, and I'll read it. You follow along in your copy of God's Word. It says, "For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another saith, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal?" Now, what were they saying? Was Paul pastoring the church at that time? No. He was the church planting pastor. He was the missionary pastor that founded that church under Christ. And then Paul, after he founded that church, he went on, and the next senior pastor of that church was a man by the name of Apollos. And Apollos was a great preacher, a great orator, and a great speaker. And he brought that church to the next level, and that church was growing and being built up. But now at this time, they did not have a strong senior pastor in the church. And there were all kind of problems that go on. So what were they doing? Some were looking back to Paul and saying, "Oh, I remember in the days of Paul how great it was." Oh, others were saying, "I remember Apollos. I liked Apollos." Others were saying, "I like Peter. He wasn't even a pastor there, but he was going around as a missionary, a preacher, a great apostle." And people were excited about Peter's ministry. And they had all these different groups, and they were not partnering together under a man of God in the local New Testament church. And that is so important if your church is going to grow. And so Paul wrote, and they had no pastor, and they were, some of them, living in the past. Others were living off of other great ministries somewhere else in the Roman Empire. They were not focused. Listen, you need to focus on where you are. You need to focus on right now. Not somebody else's work, your work. And I like what Dr. Jack Hiles said. He said, "Now is the time. This is the place. And we are the people." Right now, focus on where you are. Focus on June the 8th, Sunday night, right now, where we are. And we're gathered together here, and Christ is in our midst. We're in the summertime, but I'm glad you're here to partner with your pastor for the ministry, and you're doing that in the present tense. So don't let personal prejudices or personal preferences keep you from partnering with your pastor. Some said, "Well, I like Apollos. I like his way, his style." They talked about it. Others said, "I like Paul, the founding pastor." Others said, "I like Peter's style," and so forth and so on. No, don't let that keep you from partnering with the man of God right now in the church of God. You see, you can't really grow if you are not partnering with the preacher. And sometimes men don't partner with the preacher. We've had men in the church that they didn't click around the man of God to fulfill the Great Commission. Maybe they had their own selfish ambition. Maybe they had their own pride. I've had people try to go out and build a church, and they wound up, it was just them and their family, and they were preaching to their family. Well, these are men, you see, that had selfish ambition, and they were boring their family to tears and ruining their family's love for the Lord. But why? Just because they couldn't be part of a team. They wanted to be a big fish in a smaller pond. No, that's not what God calls us to do. God calls us to partner with the man of God and to do a great work for God. And the Corinthians weren't doing that. Hey, can you imagine a woman, she's married to a man, and she's partnering with that man. She's working with that man to raise a family. And then that man dies suddenly. And she marries another man, and he has kids. His wife has died, let's say, and her husband has died. They each have kids, and they come together and they get married. But the woman is saying, you know what? I'm looking back to my husband and I'm thinking about his death day. And she'd get all nostalgic over that, which is understandable. And I'm thinking about his birthday. And I'm thinking about, and you know what? Her husband right now said, hey, we're married. I want to do this. I want to do that. She said, no, my husband didn't do it that way. We didn't raise the kids exactly like that. I can't really talk to you. I've got to think about that. There would be no partnering going on there. You see, that would not be good for the kids. That would not be good for the family. And so it is important to partner with each pastor in the present tense and in the place where God has you. And that's why it says in verse 5, who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers, that means servants, by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. Now, first of all, we just said it, that Paul was no longer the pastor, but they did partner with him when he was. Apollos was no longer the pastor, but they did partner with him when he was the second pastor of that church. Now they didn't have any kind of strong lead pastoral leadership, and so they were all pulling their own way, doing their own thing. Now, this is important for partnering with your pastor. Paul said in verse 5, who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. You know what? This work is to be a work of God. And if it's going to succeed, you need a man of God that is called by God to be a pastor. There are people in the ministry, they're not called by God. Their mama called and daddy sent, you know. They're not called by God. And that's what you need. You need a man of God. And when you get a pastor of a church, you need to be looking to God. I thank God for our pastor, Dr. Charles Ware. When he knew he was going to Washington, D.C., and he went there to pastor, he got the people looking to God. Dr. Ware used to say, we want God to do something here in this church that cannot be humanly explained as a work of a man. It has to be the work of God. Now, I know God uses men. The Bible says the sword of the Lord and of who? Gideon. Yeah, God used Gideon. He said, thou mighty man of valor. God empowers men, and God wants strong men. He wants men filled with the Holy Spirit. He wants strong pastor-led churches. He wants that. And by the way, we live in a generation when men are raised with pink tea and lemonade type preaching. They have lace on their underwear. The frogs are going gay because the frogs are getting all these hormones. And we live in an age when men are being emasculated. By the way, testosterone is dropping. It's dropping. And that's the way the liberals want it. That's the way Satan wants it. Why? Because he doesn't want strong men-led marriages and families and pastor-led churches. No, he does not want that. Satan wants that, but God does not want that. And so we need to realize that when we have strong pastor-led churches, that the man of God will point people to the God who empowers that man and say God is working, and we each have our part to play on the team. And so we need men of God. I know Dr. Charles Ware was called of God. I have no doubt about it. And when I worked with him, the reason I worked with him, I knew that God had led him here. I knew that God had called him to pastor this church. And I know just as sure as I'm standing here, I am not doing this as a job. I'm not doing this as something I'm doing to get paid. I could have got paid a lot more. I could have inherited a business and been having a yacht and everything else with my father-in-law in Florida, in a place where I loved it. But God called me here. And we've had two pastors of this church so far, and I know that they're called of God. And so we have an opportunity, I believe, to make an impact for God as we unite and partner with the pastor, but looking to God alone. Now, there are men that are not like that. Jesus spoke of men that are in it for the fame or in it for the money or in it for self-glory. And Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he's an hireling and careth not for the sheep. Now you see a couple of things about a hireling here. A hireling is in it for the money. Now don't get me wrong, God said a man of God is worthy of double honor. That's the word for honorarium. It means pay. He's worthy of double pay of the average man in the church. But he's not in it for the money. I like what my hero said. He said, great preacher, he said, I have made it my philosophy not to let money be the determining factor of my ministry. I think of Jack Hiles when he went to a church in Texas. I can't remember if it was Henderson or Grange Hall, but I remember that church that there were some young people in that church that voted him in. And some of the older people that were kind of stuck in the mud spiritually didn't like this young preacher. They voted for somebody else. But Jack Hiles won the vote. And it was a lot of teenagers that voted for him, but he won the vote and he was called to preach. Well, the treasurer of the church, along with the deacon, said, that's all right. You may be called to be the pastor and we have to honor you as the pastor, but you're not going to get paid. We write the checks and you're not going to get paid. and so he said, I didn't make money my determining factor. I didn't let those men drive me out of the church. You see, a hireling is in it for the money, in it for the glory, in it, you see, for the good times. But when he gets opposed and he has enemies come against him, he will run and hide and go somewhere else. And so, you'll be tested. You'll be tested. I'm talking to men of God. Will be tested to see why you are in the ministry. And I notice here that Jesus said that a hireling flees. He runs away when the times get tough. Paul said, for I know that this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. In other words, a hireling will not stand up for what's right and what's true when people come in with false doctrine and the wrong kind of lifestyle. And I've told people I've had to fight battles to stay in this church and to stay with it. And I've had people that have tried to knock me out of the pulpit and knock me, but I'm not a hireling. I'm not here for the money. I remember, Sarge, you remember this. For 3 years, Joe, you certainly remember this. For 3 years, I pastored this church without a paycheck. That's after having been here for a time, but we went through some battles, and we didn't run away from those battles. We didn't run when the going got tough, and we stayed. And I had to work at one time 5 different jobs just to keep going, and kept going for 3 years. And thank God, because of a faithful deacon that said, our preacher's not a hireling. I'm gonna get a barn. And he got a barn, and he sold that barn. And with that money, he dedicated it to the church. And they paid me back all the money that they didn't pay me over that time. And what a testimony of our deacon. I'm just saying, you need somebody that is God called, that points people to God, and that is not a hireling and not afraid of the wolves. You know, David, he said when he was taking care of his father's sheep, he wasn't a hireling. He was doing it out of love for his father, out of love for the sheep. And when the bear came, he fought the bear, and God gave him supernatural strength to beat the bear. And then when a lion came, he attacked the lion, David did, and God gave him supernatural strength and saved the sheep out of the lion's mouth. And you know what? A man of God that's called to be a man of God, you need to partner with that person. That person needs to have courage. That person needs to be valiant for the truth and to fight for the truth and not run away when things get tough. Why? Because he's called of God. Why? Because he's blessed and backed of God. And I believe this church has had a history of that. And we have an opportunity, therefore. You have an opportunity to grow spiritually, to grow numerically, and impact this greater Scranton area in a glorious way for God. And I believe that God is doing a work here. And so I'm saying that the pastor is not depending on money, is not just a man pleaser trying to please people, because both the pastor and the people need to keep looking to God. Here's what it says in verse number 6 of 1 Corinthians 3. I have planted. Apollos watered. He was the second senior pastor. But what? God giveth the increase. Thank God that Pastor Ware planted. I remember he would get under attack about his pastorate. And I remember there was a time when these great men of God came into the Bible college, into the seminary, and they had so much knowledge, and he felt like, oh, they know more than me. They know more Bible than me. He was a young pastor, and he was tempted to quit the ministry. During that time, he said, my faith was attacked. He said, but I had to apply faith concerning my call, that God had given me the gift to pastor and to bless this church, and those men couldn't do it. And so I had to have faith concerning my ministry. And he said, boom, when I did that, God blessed, and I stayed, and God did a work here in the church. So what am I saying tonight? I'm saying, number one, partner with your pastor by partnering in the present tense with the pastor you now have. Not somebody in your imagination, and not some pastor in some other place. Partner with your pastor if you're going to have success in God's work. Number two, partner with your pastor by your progressing with each successive pastor. Not only partner with each pastor, but by progressing with each pastor. Each pastor should provide for the numerical and spiritual growth of the local body. He's talking about Paul first, then Apollos, and whoever would follow that. He said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God giveth the increase. And you know what? A church grows over time. I remember when Dr. Ware came here, we went through a lot. And he preached, and we went through some battles with the college. The college cut us off from students, and we had to stand up for what was right and to stay with the work. And we lost a lot of people. And when I was called to be the pastor of Scranton Revival Baptist Church, we had 25 people in the membership. 25 people in the membership when I came to pastor that church. But God had used Charlie Ware to plant a solid foundation. And you know who one of the key people were that were here in this church? He had trained me for the ministry, and his wife had helped my wife greatly. And so he left us here. You know, the Bible said, as a pastor, you need not only to train people, but men of God. And the Bible says, the things which you have heard of me among many witnesses, the same, 2 Timothy 2, commit to faithful men. That's talking about preachers who will be able to teach others also. So Pastor Ware had a membership about 25 people. They called me to be the second pastor, but he and his wife had helped to train my wife and I to do the work. And the church has grown and gone forward, thank God, for that. And so I'm just saying that each progressive, each pastor helps you to progress in your spiritual growth and in the numerical growth of the church. Now, a pastor is not a hired gun. You don't hire the pastor to do all the soul winning. You don't do all hire the pastor to bring all people in. Now, he should do a lot of it. But what is the pastor to do? He is a gift to you to what? Train you to do the work of the ministry so that you can pray. You can get answers to prayer. You can give the gospel. You can lead people to the Lord. You can lead them down the aisle to get baptized. You can plug them in to the church where they can grow spiritually. And so that is what is supposed to happen when you partner with your pastor. You partner with your pastor to make progress in spiritual growth and in numerical growth. And there are people that you can lead to the Lord. You can follow them up over time, and you can work with them and help them to grow and to get out into the church. And so that is very important, that progressing in the Lord's work. And so I'm just saying that Pastor Ware made a quote when he was here. I've shared it many times. You've heard it. We are not rallying around a cause, but growing up into a person. It's not just the pastor that should be growing spiritually. You can grow. Not just the pastor that reads the Bible and study. You can do it. And we have Bible reading, and we encourage. How many are doing the Bible reading every day? We encourage you to do that. I try to write a devotional to help to encourage that every day. You can get in the Word, not just the preacher. But the pastor can help you to make progress in your spiritual growth and then in leading others to Christ so that they can get saved and they can grow spiritually. And also, your first and second pastor have been called to lead the spiritual program of the church. I like what our first pastor used to say, leadership must lead and fellowship must follow. And he knew that he was called to be the spiritual program director of the church. And really, a church, if it's going to grow, if it's going to reach out, it has to have people that unite together behind the pastor to be the spiritual program director. And he's going to plan the spiritual pulpit ministry and what goes on, and the church is going to benefit from that. And I think about the Catholics, you know. They have this doddery old pope, and all these Catholics get behind the pope, you know. It's not biblical, it's not right, because it's a universal quote-unquote church, and they're all into the pope. But there is a lesson there that a church, a local church that has a strong pastor and the people are united behind the preacher, that is a good thing. That's why you take your problems and go upward. Don't go downward with your problems and share. Go upward with your problems. And I'm saying that there are some churches, they're not working together as a church. They're not in one accord. They don't have one main goal. And they're not together in the spiritual program of the church. And so you've got little churches within the church, and they're not working together. They're like little petty parties, one over here and one over there, and people are trying to have their own selfish ambition. That was the Corinthian church. They were into that. And I believe it's because they didn't partner with strong pastoral leadership to help them to grow. And they weren't progressing under another pastor after Paul and after Apollos. Man, a church, that's what it needs to grow. It's like a football team. It needs a coach. It needs a coach, and it's got to get the right coach. And if it doesn't have a good coach, everything rises and falls on leadership. That's why you ought to pray for the preacher. You say, I don't need to pray for the preacher. He's strong. No, you need to pray for preachers. They get attacked. You need to pray for preachers because as the preacher goes, so goes the church. You know, David wanted to go into battle. And he wanted to lead the Israelites into battle. He was an older man, a king of Israel. And they said to David, no, we don't want you into battle. If we lose you, you're worth 10,000 of us. Why? Because of his position, because of his anointing as king. I heard a guy say, I want to see Donald Trump go for a third term. And people say, well, that's against the Constitution. Well, there's more than one way to do that. But here's the bottom line. We need strong leadership in the country. Look at the Demon Rat Party. They don't know where they're going. They don't know where they're going. They don't have a strong constitutional understanding. They don't have strong leadership. They don't have strong male leadership. They're so messed up, they got men taking women and beating them up in sports and praising these men and calling them. They're messed up. But we need strong male leadership in the church and in the home and in the country. And so I'm just saying that is how God blesses, by your partnering with each head pastor and by your progressing in numerical growth and spiritual growth with that pastor. And the Bible says in Philippians 1:25, and having this confidence, Paul is writing, he's in jail, he said, and having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your joy and furtherance of faith. What's Paul saying? He said, hey, if I die, I'm better off. I'm better off. I'm with Christ. But he said, for your sake, I know I am going to stay alive so I can give you joy and I can help you progress spiritually and help you progress numerically. And so work with the man of God to make progress in your spiritual growth, in your numerical growth. And, you know, people that benefit, they get counsel from the preacher. They get counsel from the preacher. And you say, when does counseling begin? Sunday school, Sunday morning. When's the second session? Sunday morning service. When's the third session? Sunday evening service. Well, when's the fourth session? Wednesday night. And then if you're there, then give the pastor a call, and certainly he will give you counsel, whether it's over the phone or personally, and it will help you. It will help you to grow. Or he'll point you to somebody that can counsel you under the preacher that can help you to grow spiritually, because that's what we want. We're not rallying around a cause. You're growing to get to know Jesus better. It's getting to know Jesus better. And I can tell you about that because I've grown spiritually, and I can tell you how to grow spiritually, and I can tell you, you know, how you're going to be zapped away from it. And thank God we have other men of God, our youth pastor, our deacons and wives that spiritually can help counsel people and help me with that. But I'm just saying that God wants you to make progress spiritually, and he wants you to make progress numerically. And so he says, I know, Paul said, I'm going to come back to you. I'm going to get out of jail. I remember 2017, I was out of the pulpit for 9 months, and I knew God was going to bring me back in the pulpit. I knew, and I prayed about that, and I said, God, when I come back, I want to see us go forward. And we have gone forward spiritually. We have gone forward numerically. Thank God for that. It's not about me. It's about the church. It's about you. It's about your spiritual growth. I'm not doing a job for money. I could make more money elsewhere. I'm not doing a job for my health and my freedom of life. I'm doing a job for God, and it takes up my time. But thank God that we have people that are partnering with the pastor that's here. That's why we have a great opportunity. We have people that are making progress by partnering with the pastor here in their spiritual life, and we're making progress. I thank God, Saturday morning, we have a men's revival seekers prayer meeting. The last two Saturdays, we've had 8 men out. I don't know if it's the power of God in prayer for Sarge cooking. I don't know. But anyway, we've got 8 men that are showing up and being there for prayer meeting. And what a blessing it is. And I couldn't help but think of the progress that Joshua had in leading in battle the children of Israel. And they were winning the battle. Why? Because Moses was on a rock and he had his hands up. And when he had his hands up, Joshua had grace to win the battle. But Moses' hands got tired. And Joshua started losing because the man of God wasn't leading in prayer. By the way, do you know that the pastor is supposed to be lonely? You know that? You know that? I'm called to lonely living. That's right. He sets the man of God apart for the word of God and prayer. Even in my own house, I have an office. I spend so much time preparing meals and preparing things to help you to grow spiritually. I'm always doing it. My mother will come in because she doesn't know the drill sometimes. And she'll come in with her walker to go into the office. And I say, Mom, I'm sorry, I'm preparing a meal right now. I'll talk to you later. And then I'll go through and I'll get it all done. She doesn't get. And then I'll say later on, I'll talk to you later and we'll get together. But my life is into that, you see. It's my life. Men of God are not called to socialize with the people. The people sometimes they want to socialize with the people. I want to socialize. No, I'm not here to socialize. I'm sorry. It's not what I'm here for. I'm here to feed the flock, to lead the flock by example, and to give time to public ministry of the word and private where there's counseling. That's not socializing. I don't have a lot of time for socializing. That's not what I'm called to do. Some guys become almost professional golfers. Now, I golf sometime. There's a place to golf. But that's not the main thing. And especially for a pastor. Especially for a man of God and people on the pastoral staff and you guys that prepare for the ministry, have the call of God on your life. Brother Jose downstairs too. You're not called to do that. It's lonely living. It's lonely at the top. And Moses experienced that. Amen. He had his sister against him sometime, his brother against him. He had all kind of problems. He had the people against him. But he stayed with it. And so, what am I saying tonight? Partner with your pastor, number one, by your partnering with that head pastor to fulfill the Great Commission. Number two, by progressing in your growth with the pastor and in the knowledge of the Lord and in your numerical growth by getting other people saved. That's what we're here for. We're not here to just grow ourselves. We're here to get others to come to know the Lord and to grow in the Lord. Lastly, number three, partner with your pastor by your proving with each successive pastor. In other words, the proof of the ministry. Here's what it says. Every man's work, speaking of the pastor, shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. You know, we had, verse 13 of chapter 3, we had a time in this church when I remember we were being opposed. And there were people that were saying the church ought to go this way and the church ought to go that way. And I was saying, no, this is the way God wants it to go. And I said, you know who's going to have to stand before God for the direction of this church? The senior pastor. That's what it's saying. Your work is going to be, that's why it said, be not many masters. That means be not many pastor teachers, because we're going to receive the greater what? Condemnation. There's more to answer for. And so I tell people, I'm not afraid of people. I'm afraid of God. I don't have the fear of man. The fear of man brings, I have the fear of God because I have to answer to him. And you say, well, some guy didn't like the direction. Another guy didn't like the direction. And some of these guys were, quote unquote, leaders in the congregation, which they weren't called to be pastors. Some of them were deacons and men of God. But they were leading people the wrong way. And I remember one time this was going on, and we went to pastor school. Joe remembers this. Patty remembers this. And we went to pastor school, and they didn't tell me, but somebody that said, this is the way the church ought to go. I don't believe what the pastor's preaching. I don't believe that the... And they said, this is the way the church ought to go. And they said, look at this pastor. Look at this church. The proof of the pudding is in the people that he's got. Basically, attacking the people of God. You know what? God, when it's a work of God, the devil will attack it. And you're doing the devil's work if you attack the church and say, oh, this work. Remember Nehemiah when he built the wall? Sanballat and Tobiah, the enemies, they mocked it and they said, oh, that wall, even if a fox went up on that wall, he'd knock it down. It's just, and they were attacking the work. And they said, the proof of the pudding. In other words, mocking the pastor's ministry, the proof of the pudding. Look at that church. Well, we might be a motley crew. You know, the Bible says God didn't choose many mighty. He didn't choose the glamorous people of the world. But it's still a work of God. You look at the tabernacle, it looked on the outside very drab. But you look in the inside, it's glorious. You see, these people just didn't have eyes to see. But thank God there were people that saw the glory of this work. They saw the glory of what's going on here. And I always saw the glory of Pastor Ware's ministry. I knew God was in it. I knew when it was mocked and attacked, God was in it. You don't be an attacker of the work of God. You be an encourager of the work of God. And that's what I did. And that's what I encourage people to do. That's what I encourage you to do, because the pastor's ministry will be proven. And they said the proof of the pudding. And we went to pastor school, and I had a number of people at pastor school. In fact, we won a contest. I went on a trip with Dr. Hiles for taking my people at pastor school a couple different times. And I remember that under the shirt, Patty had a blouse, and under that, it had a picture of the pastor. Remember that? And it said, proof of the pudding. I am proof of the pudding. Then all of our people, I didn't know it, but under their shirts, they had a t-shirt on with my face, and it said, proof of the pudding. And I thought, wow. And then at my 25th anniversary for the head pastor of the church, Joe had a shirt, proof of the pudding, and he opened it up at the end. You know, that is proving the pastor's ministry. Partner with your pastor because his ministry will be proven to be what it is. And that is so important. It will be proven over time. And a lot of those people, they left the ministry. They left the church. They went their own way. And yet those that stayed, guess what? They grew spiritually. Guess what? We grew numerically. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3:8, and every man, that is every pastor, shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. In other words, Pastor Ware will receive his reward for his time as head pastor. I'll receive my reward for my time as head pastor. If I go before the Lord comes back, the next guy will receive his reward. You see, that's what Paul is saying. But your part, he said, is to partner with that preacher to fulfill the Great Commission. And you say, well, if I do that, what's it going to be? Well, verse 9 of chapter 3 says, what's it going to be? He says, for we are laborers together with God. You know, labor means hard work. I believe the church should be about work. And it should be hard work. Amen. I saw the secretary this morning. She was working hard. And I said, that's tough because each person needs to do their part. And sometimes if somebody lets down in their part and a faithful person takes over, they feel the load of that work. Don't you be one of those. You be a worker, not a shirker. Amen? Hard work, the ministry. And that's what he says in verse 9. The pastor should be laboring hard. The people should be laboring hard. And each of us will receive our own reward. The pastor's ministry is meant to be hard work. And the Bible speaks about that. And it is hard work. The work is not only a hard work, it's building lives on solid foundation. Look at verse 10 and 11. I'll read it. And here's what it says in 10 and 11, 1 Corinthians 3. Let me get back here. Hard work and building lives. It says, for other foundation can... According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So we're building lives on solid foundations. What's the foundation? Jesus Christ, our Savior, faith in Him. You have to be born again. If you're not born again and your faith isn't in Him, as I preached this morning, you're not going to be able to participate with the pastor who's a born-again preacher. You've got to have that foundation in your life. And then we have to build with the Word of God, which is the King James Bible. We have to have the right foundations. And then we build lives on those solid foundations. The church is a temple of God. It's a holy temple. It's important. And the pastor's work is building lives on solid foundations. It's a valuable work. Gold, silver, precious stones. Those are precious metals. And they speak of people getting saved and then people growing and becoming soul winners. Each person is valuable. And the work that we're doing is valuable. I hate to see somebody getting sidetracked and being messed up and backsliding. It grieves me to see it. I grieve. I mourn over it. And it's not a job with me. It's a life. I feel it. I feel it when a person should be in church and they're not there and they're hurting because of it. And I'm just saying that the pastor's work is a building work, building lives on solid foundation. It's a valuable work. It's a hard work, as we said. Labor means hard work. And the pastor's work will be judged by the Lord Himself. Look at verse 16 and 17 in closing. Verse 16 and 17, I'll read it. It says there, know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Speaking of the whole church. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple are ye? Now, hey, the work I'm doing is with the temple of God, and that's your life. You are the temple of God, and we're to be a holy temple. So if I mess that work up, God could judge me. And you see that that is a very serious thing. And so it's important that we have a holy temple and that we do a holy work. And by the way, the pastor is over church discipline. So if somebody's living in fornication, they're a member of the church, or homosexuality, or they're stealing and robbing and doing things that ruin the testimony of Jesus Christ, that needs to be confronted. And then if there's not repentance, it needs to be brought to the church. And the pastor is over the discipline, and he needs to make sure that that person is repentant or disciplined out of the church to get right with God. That is so important. We say, who handles the head pastor if he's in sin? Well, it says, and I'll read it again. Look with me at the last verse there, verse number 17. You follow. I'll read it. He says, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. He's talking about the man that's over the discipline. God said, I'll judge him. I'll judge him. So if you go to a pastor privately about some moral matter that is harming the testimony of Jesus Christ, and he's over the discipline, he doesn't deal with it, then you leave quietly. Don't take anybody. God will take care of that. And work with the pastor to discipline those in the church that need that, so that we as a church can grow spiritually. What am I saying tonight from 1 Corinthians 3? The message is partner with your pastor by partnering with the pastor who's presently leading the church. Make sure you have one. By your progressing with the pastor and by your proving the ministry of the pastor by living out that teaching and that preaching and showing in your life that it's beneficial so that others will want it. That's what it should be. You should be a walking, talking advertisement that says, hey, come to Christ, come to the church. You're going to grow, you're going to benefit. Help God help you to do that. Let's bow for prayer tonight. I wonder tonight, are you partnering with the pastor?